Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
All right, we're trying to connect with Pastor Rudy Damas for our conversation on Exodus chapter 3. We are looking at Moses and the burning bush. You'll remember that last week we ended off with Exodus chapter 2. We had a little bit of an interruption that time, if you remember, if you tuned in on a Friday. So I am praying that today we'll be able to get through this with no interruptions. Pastor Damas is on the line already. My pastor, good afternoon. Welcome to the program. Pastor, can you hear me a bit clearer now?
Yes, I can hear you a bit clearer now, Bongi.
That sounds much better. Thank you so much for joining us, and I apologize for that. I can hear you clearly. I can hear you perfectly. Let's get straight into it. We are on chapter 3 of the book of Exodus.
That's correct. Yes, and you asked me for a brief summary of chapter 3. That's correct.
Yes, please.
Well, when we look at the chapter 3, and if I can give you a summary, of course, it started with Moses' introduction to his purpose that God has for his life. And we know, of course, while he was living with his new life now in the Bible called the city, the town called Midian, of course, God called him through a burning bush, the Bible said. The angel of the Lord spoke through a burning bush to Moses. And make sure that we cover a few things, and then I want to apply to our daily life, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
So after God, of course, called him for the burning bush, God identified himself, and of course, as the God of Abraham, you know, Isaac and Jacob, which of course has a lot of meaning behind that. God has never forgotten about his past history, his forefathers, of course. And that is also something we can learn from that. I will maybe say a few things regarding that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, after God identified himself as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, then he told him his mission. And we know, of course, his assignment was to return to Egypt and deliver the children of Israel from the house of bondage. And then, of course, we see how Moses feared and even trembled at this assignment. That wasn't a very easy assignment. The people in Egypt didn't like him. They wanted to kill him, of course. Even his own people turned against him. Mm. And now this God is asking him now to deliver Israel. How will he do that, you know, Bongi? Mm. And, of course, we know the story. He asked several questions.
Yeah.
And part of these questions, of course, was filled with excuses for why he couldn't do it. You know, and he desired, of course, that the Lord can find somebody else to do this job on his behalf.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, however, we read that in all his excuses to get him off the hook, you know, God made provisions for each concern he had.
Mm.
And then, of course, one final question Moses asked was, who should he tell the children of Israel sent him to them? I think this is a pivotal moment in this whole story of chapter 3,
mm.
when God responded by saying to Moses, you know, I am that I am has sent you.
Amen.
Of course, for our human psyche, it doesn't make sense. How can someone refer to himself as I am that I am?
Mm.
But I think embedded in that is, of course, a God that we can't describe, a God that doesn't have an existence, a God who can't be compared to anyone else. But what is so significant about this I am that I am is also, Bongi, when you read this backwards, it will say, am I that I am, or you know, am I that I am,
mm.
which means sometimes when we are facing certain situations in our lives,
yeah.
then God is asking us a question, you know, am I the bread of life? Am mm. I the water of life?
Amen.
You know, am I the light of the world? Do you believe that I am what I am? You know, it's so powerful. There's much power in that, in just God's name that he pronounced
yes.
To Moses there, of course. You know, if there's something you want to pause and ask me, you can do that. But I want to firstly highlight something very important, you know.
Yeah.
For me, firstly, we can learn, what we can learn firstly through this encounter with Moses is that God wants you and I also to obey his calling in our life. You know, sometimes God will call us to certain some certain jobs, if I can put it like that.
Yes.
And it might sound ridiculous to us, you know, why God calling us? Why not someone else?
Yeah.
And, you know, which means God doesn't wait for us sometimes to be qualified. I think Moses thought, no, I'm not qualified. I'm not a qualified person. You have the wrong guy here, God. You know, just go and find someone else.
For sure.
But we have, but of course we know, those of us who are walking with God a long while now will know that God doesn't call those who are qualified.
Amen.
He qualified those whom he called.
Amen.
No, God is concerning about your faith in him, your willingness to believe his word. And that if your heart is in tune with God, you have a pure heart that can trust God, because he's just looking for a pure heart, you know, a clean heart that can trust him, and he will take you through the process, you know. You just need a willing heart. Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. He's looking for a willing heart.
Yeah.
And say, God, here I am. I'm willing to be your vessel.
Beautiful.
And so, of course, Moses says, you know, says something interesting in the passage. He says, I've never been good with words, God. I've never been good with words. Yeah, so Moses says, I've never been good with words. I think I lost you there for a few seconds.
I can hear you.
After he told God, I'm not good with words.
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
And so he says, God, I've never been good with words. And the Bible says God calls him and says, no, Moses, just wait a minute, you know. You are born to speak for me, Moses, you know. And of course, it teaches us that, you know, the place, it teaches me something very important I want to say, that the place where you are most insecure, you know, the place that you and I sometimes are most insecure is most likely the very place that you are born to serve with excellence.
Nice.
I want to say that. So if the person who made you, Bongi, if the person who made you, who created you, tell you to do something, you know, you are not here by chance. You are here because someone created you.
Amen.
And so I want to say that if the person who made you tell you to do something, why do you want to doubt him? He made you, you know, just do it. You know, God asked Moses the question, he asked Moses, who made your mouth, Moses? who made your mouth, Moses? Is it not I, the Lord? Then God asked him a question, is it not I, the Lord?
Yeah.
And then God says, stop complaining, stop murmuring, stop making excuses. Just go and do what I said. And so what we must understand today, I believe, is that there's something very important I want to also mention, you know, is that there is divine potential inside all of us. There is divine potential inside all of us. Because God, you know, God never speaks to you based on your past experience, based on your ability to do certain things. He always speaks to you based on the potential he planted in you. In other words, I believe there's a seed of destiny that's been given to every human being, you know.
Powerful.
Yeah, I was saying there's a seed of destiny that's been given to every human being.
Amen.
And that seed of destiny, Bongi, needs to grow, you know. And the problem is, and most people probably listen to me now, right now.
Yeah.
The problem is that many people have grown up, Bongi, in an environment that have sought to suppress that seed. You know, your family background, your family issues have sought to suppress and that purpose that God has for you in your life.
Beautiful.
And so anytime God tries to call you from what he is potentially able to do in you to what is actually in you, you don't believe him because you never experienced that before. But what I want us to learn from Moses' experience here, Bongi, in Exodus chapter 3, is that when God calls you, when God calls us, Bongi, he's not speaking to you based on what you remember.
Amen.
And what you are qualified of. Yeah. He's speaking to you based on what you can't remember. And what do I mean by that? Let me maybe explain it this way, Bongi.
Okay.
Moses doesn't remember when his mom hit him because soldiers are outside and they are taking babies from their families to kill them. Pharaoh told his men, just kill all the babies, all the men, children of Israel.
Yeah.
Moses doesn't remember that, you know.
Yeah.
Moses doesn't remember when angels hover over his little basket and guide it to a safe space where he could be adopted and raised in privilege, you know, so he can be educated to do exactly what he was born to do.
Sure.
Moses doesn't remember all of that. Mm. And so what I want to say today to someone is that there are things about your destiny that you don't remember.
Mm.
What God wants us to is to trust him.
Yeah.
You know? You can't remember what God had destined for you because there's something that he's planted in you.
Wow.
And he doesn't tell you until later, you know. So all Moses is thinking about is what he experienced now.
Yeah.
But God is talking about what God only remembers. Mm. God, the Bible says, remembers what he thought when he grafted us, Bongi.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says beautifully reminds us that he knew you before you were conceived.
Amen.
And he says, the plans I have for you is to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to submit today, firstly, that God remembers all of that, and you don't,
mm-hmm.
because you can't remember that far.
Amen.
So what I believe, Bongi, is that we need to change our self-talk at times, especially as young people, you know.
Right.
You know, there's probably a conversation going on in many of our heads at all times throughout the day. You know, and I mean, people say sometimes to us, you know, men, are you here? In what world are you now?
Yeah.
You know, are you with me?
Yeah.
Because I believe there's always a running conversation, you know, in the human psyche.
Yeah.
And when you think about what you say about yourself, most of the time, Bongi, many of us are talking down on ourselves, like Moses. He didn't believe that God could call him and give him this great task to free his children. And so what I'm trying to say is that God is trying to call you into your life calling.
Mm.
Someone here, listen to me now today. Stop saying to God what you failed at.
Mm.
Stop talking about what you are not confident about. Because I believe we say that too much to ourselves.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. That's a beautiful lesson, Pastor. And for sure, I think the first point that you mentioned that really stood out to me was God's description of himself. I am.
Yeah, so I was listening there for a moment. So I didn't connect there, Bongi, but.
Okay, we can hear you clearly. I hope you can hear me now. We are able to hear you, Pastor. I was just saying that
I lost you there.
Yes, we can hear you clearly. We can hear you clearly. I'm not sure why you're not able to hear me. But the what I was saying was I really enjoyed the point that you made where God describes himself as I am that I am. That's a beautiful and powerful, powerful statement that God makes there about who he is. And of course, as you mentioned, the usual doubt that we have in ourselves when God gives us an assignment and we don't have that belief in ourselves. Oh, it looks like we've lost the pastor there. Let's see if we can try and reconnect. But there's a beautiful point that the pastor made there, speaking of the self-doubt that Moses had. He doubted himself in so many ways. And the thing that stands out to me is that his excuses were valid, right? You're calling me to speak for these people, to speak for an entire nation. I am a fugitive as it is, and you know, I'm not good at speaking at all in the first place. I'm not good at speaking. My mouth, and God says, who made your mouth? That's beautiful, right? That's powerful. Because whatever your excuse is for why you are not able to, you know, to do what God says to do, the reason is not something that's unfamiliar to God. It's not something that he didn't consider. It's not something that he forgot. He's not going to be like, oh, yeah, by the way, I made you with a stutter. Oh, yes, by the way, I made you with this weakness or that weakness or this insecurity or that insecurity. He's not going to say, oh, thank you for reminding me. Sorry about that. Never mind. As you were, let me find someone better qualified. There's nowhere in the history of the world, nowhere in the entire story of the Bible where we find God saying, oh, my bad, let me run that back. I'll get back to you when I make a better decision. Not once does God do that. Not once. God will use a man who is not a good speaker. God will use a sinner. God will use a child. God will use a mute person, a lame person. God will use anything and anyone for his glory. And so when he gives you an assignment, put aside the excuses because none of them are going to work. If you want to say no, rather just say no, because your excuses are not valid, right? And that sounds insensitive if we're speaking on a human-to-human level, but when God is the one calling you, then there really are no excuses. I don't know what to tell you. There really are no excuses. Like we said earlier on, it's either you believe God or you don't. There's no in-between. Either you believe in his word or you don't. Either he is God over your life or he's not. You make that choice, but there is no half and half. And so here's Moses with all the reasons why he can't do what God has called him to do, and valid reasons by any argument, valid reasons that any human being would be like, yeah, you're right. And God says, I already know all those things. They don't matter to me. Go do what I told you to do because I am who I am. That kind of sounds like the original, because I told you so, right? We say that to our kids all the time. Why do I need to do this? Why this? Why that? Because I said so. And that's the original, because I said so, right there from God. I am who I am. And I'm not going to limit myself or put myself in a box by saying I am the healer, or I am the one who will free you, or I am the one who will sustain you. Because I'm all those things and I'm so much more. There is no limit. I am who I am. And that within itself is the biggest flex that no one could ever stand up to, because no one has been able to prove themselves the way that God has. God has proven himself to be the I am that I am. He is everything and more than what you need. He's everything that you could ever imagine. He goes beyond your wildest dreams and your highest hopes, beyond your deepest insecurities and pains and fears. He's bigger than all of those things. And so he says, I am who I am. It's an open-ended answer. Whoever it is that you need in this moment, I am that. I am your healer. I am the one who will mend your relationships. I am the one who will bring to your memory everything that you have studied for that exam. I am the one who will sort out your finances. I am the one who will get you out of debt. I am the one who will be your friend, your close, loving friend when you feel alone and you feel lost. I am the one who forgives your sins. I am the one who cleanses you from unrighteousness. I am the one who gives you life. I am the one whose air is in your lungs right now. I am. That's the God we're talking about. That's the God who sent Moses. And that's the God who is sending you right now. You know what your assignment is. You know what it is. You know what it is that you feel underqualified for. And let me speak for a moment for that person who thinks that they are, in fact, overqualified for an assignment. Because sometimes we walk with a certain level of arrogance, veiled as confidence, because we know what we're doing. You know, we know what we're doing in certain aspects and certain things. You know, I've studied for this. I have the papers to kind of confirm that I am an expert in this field, as a matter of fact. And so we have a certain level of arrogance as we approach certain assignments. And when we get there, we find that because of our overconfidence in ourselves, rather than having a confidence in the God who sent you, then you find that you are in problems. Remember that the one who sent you is the I am. The reason that people are listening to you in the rooms that you have walked into is not because you are so smart and you're so articulate and eloquent. That's not why. It's because God has put you there for a reason. The reason that things are working out ever since you joined the team or ever since you took over as the leader, the reason that things work out in a certain way once you walk in is not because of you, my friend. It's because of the presence of the I am who sent you. So whatever it is that God has called you to do, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter how over or underqualified you feel that you might be for that thing, whatever your excuses are, put them aside because they do not matter to God. I say that with the greatest respect for each and every one of us, because we all know why we feel the way that we feel. We all know why we have certain insecurities and fears, and that's fine. I have no space to judge you for that because I have my own. But just remember, our lesson today is basically sharing that whatever your worry and your fear is, God has already considered it and he has chosen you anyway. You've heard the saying before, God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. And this is one of the earlier examples of exactly that.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Unfortunately, we were not able to reconnect with our pastor for today for the rest of that conversation, but he will be back joining us again on Wednesday as we get into the next chapter of Exodus. We'll be on Exodus chapter 4, all right? If you have any particular lesson that you take away from this chapter 3, please feel free to share that on +27734703520.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.